Here's your money briefing for Monday, August 1st. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The U.S. is in an energy crisis. What was once a surplus is turning into energy scarcity, and that's driven up the cost of everything from filling your gas tank to turning on the lights in your house.
This is a crisis that's been several years in the making now as a result of the pandemic and also the war in Ukraine more recently. But it would have been very difficult to foresee before 2020, which makes this crisis much more difficult to solve.
Catherine Blunt covers energy markets for the Wall Street Journal. Coming up, she'll tell us why the era of cheap, plentiful energy may be in the past and what's being done to keep prices in check going forward. That's after the break.
My early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But it gave my mom and me more time to plan together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
After a decade of relatively low energy prices for everything from gasoline to electricity to natural gas, costs have been spiraling higher and higher recently. The war in Ukraine is part of the story, but not all. So what got us to this point, and what's being done to help bring supply and demand back in line? Catherine Blunt covers utilities and the renewable energy markets for the WSJ, and she joins us with more. Hey, Catherine, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, you know, Catherine, the recent ramp up in energy costs has more or less reset the U.S. economy. It's had a far-reaching effect on nearly every aspect of people's personal finances, as well as the business world, and it's even seeped into politics. Were there any advanced signs this was coming?
Well, this is a crisis that's been several years in the making now as a result of the pandemic and also the war in Ukraine more recently. But it would have been very difficult to foresee before 2020, which makes this crisis much more difficult to solve. I don't think that there is a blueprint necessarily in that we are in a new moment in many respects, that the country is going through a transition to cleaner energy sources at the moment, that change has been accelerating for a number of years. And with that comes new challenges that we need to figure out how to tackle. And some of these challenges have been made worse by global supply chain issues. And then in terms of just conventional energy production, it's a global market. And some of the global dynamics right now are unique. And so this is a problem that's going to require a new sort of solution.
You know, gas prices are probably the biggest culprit here in weighing on people's finances. But we've seen those prices come down significantly in just the past 30 days because of projections of how a recession would impact demand. Does that mean crisis averted?
It doesn't mean crisis averted. You know, demand is expected to increase. And, you know, I think that most people agree that, you know, even a recession could help ease demand a bit, but it will likely only be temporary.
You know, Catherine, it was just less than 10 years ago that an energy crisis like this seemed unimaginable. Prices were a lot lower, and that was in large part due to the U.S. being the world's top oil producer, which it no longer is. What's happened since then?
A lot of this started a number of years ago with a greater use of fracking, which is a means of tapping shale formations and releasing a lot of oil and gas. And so there was a boom in this activity over the last decade that resulted in a lot of domestic production of oil and gas, and that helped keep prices low for some time. But the problem was is that, you know, fracking didn't produce the types of returns that investors were expecting. And so as a result, a lot of the companies that were once very engaged in this kind of activity are now constrained because investors are pretty reticent to lend more money to something that historically has been disappointing. And so for that reason, these producers have had difficulty keeping up with the latest surge in demand for these resources, partly as a result of lockdowns lifting worldwide and the fact that Europe is really trying to reduce its reliance on Russian supplies. And so we're doing more to export to help fill those gaps.
Okay, but those shale wells still exist, right? So can't they just be turned back on?
Not quickly is the short answer. But the other challenge, as we were just discussing earlier, is that a lot of these companies are having difficulty attracting the necessary capital to make those investments because their returns to investors have historically been disappointing.
Oh, okay. Now, you mentioned green energy a moment ago. We've often heard that it would be relatively easy to replace fossil fuel plants with renewable energy resources, you know, things like wind and solar power. And hasn't green energy become less expensive to produce? Well, what's the latest on that?
Well, it's certainly true that wind and solar power have become much, much less expensive in the last decade, largely because of economies of scale that have made production more efficient. There's also been subsidies that have been really beneficial to the build out of these resources. But there's a few challenges, and the challenges have been made worse in the last few months by, first of all, supply chain issues globally that have made it more difficult to procure turbines and solar panels needed to continue the build-out or even accelerate it. But also, wind and solar resources are by nature intermittent. In general, to help replace power plants that can produce power around the clock, like a coal plant or gas-fired power plant, you need some fleet of large batteries to store the wind and solar power for use when production declines. Right now, because of some of the challenges in speeding the build-out of renewables, you are beginning to see some gaps emerge as older plants close. And so the challenge here is really managing the pace of the transition to cleaner energy resources as older, more expensive plants close, and there are difficulties in getting new projects online, cheap as they may be.
You know, Catherine, people are also feeling the effects of the energy crunch in their monthly electricity bills. And green energy is a major source of electricity production in the U.S. It's second only to natural gas, where supply levels have allowed the U.S. to become the world's top exporter of liquefied natural gas, or LNG. So why are electricity bills rising so much?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a relatively new phenomenon. I believe the U.S. really began exporting LNG around 2015, and the amounts that we've been sending abroad have been ramping up since then. And right now, there's a huge demand in Europe for LNG because European countries are looking to dramatically reduce their reliance on Russia. And so as a result, there's demand for alternative suppliers, and the U.S. is certainly one of them. And so as more gets shipped abroad, it creates competition domestically for that resource. The recent increase in electricity prices poses challenges on multiple fronts, and it's largely driven by the increase in the price of natural gas, because natural gas is used to produce a lot of the electricity that we consume. And so as it becomes more expensive for utilities to produce power or purchase power and deliver it to customers, those costs are passed on. And these increases come at a really challenging time because utilities across the country are looking to spend billions of dollars in upgrading the grid to address issues with climate change, concerns about the need to reduce carbon emissions, and prepare for a surge in demand related to electric vehicles and other things. And so it becomes harder for these companies to make those investments and collect more money from customers when bills are already increasing. Now, building wind and solar farms has recently become much less expensive. You have seen those costs increase in the last, you know, year plus because of supply chain challenges and other things, but it is still less expensive in many cases than other forms of power generation. And so there's a strong argument that the more of this we build, costs will come down over time because utilities will have to purchase less fuel. But that's a long-term proposition, and the near-term challenges are very acute.
Yeah, so it seems like for every problem, there's a solution that brings with it its own set of problems. So what's on the drawing board that could unlock this logjam? You know, last week, the Inflation Reduction Act, which has measures to address climate change, that took a big step forward when Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia threw his support behind it. What could that mean for efforts to rein in energy prices?
A big part of the bill is dedicated to trying to speed the build-out of renewable energy. And there's a talk of a separate legislation that could help ease some of the permitting hurdles that clean energy projects face. And that could potentially do a lot. But when we're talking about energy, we're talking about major infrastructure projects that take many years to come to fruition. And so while the legislation is huge news, it's not a near-term fix. So we are likely in this more volatile era for a number of years before we begin to see some of the relief that could come from measures aimed at addressing the crisis.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal energy reporter Catherine Blunt. Catherine, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.